together in prayer. I know some of you are maybe sending in your prayer requests through Facebook, and pray and believe God for you. Some of you have already sent them in. I appreciate people's prayer requests. Hallelujah. Somebody sent me a message the other day and said, "Pastor, I've lost my fire. How do I get it back?" Appreciate requests like that. Hallelujah. Some others dealing with pain today. I hear you. Little baby Jerry, we're praying for him, recovering from surgery after that dog bite, and on. So let's join our hearts together in prayer today. If you have prayer need, you can leave it there or send it to us through the link we've provided there on Facebook. And whatever it is that your need is today, as we just sang, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so as we pray today, and as we just call upon the name of the Lord today, I want you, if you would, if you really would, to just really think about what we just sang. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And know that as we pray and we call upon His name, that you need to pray and believe God today with us. And just imagine that as you and I are praying and believing, that we need to have the faith, even just the size of a mustard seed, to believe that our situations are changing, what you are feeling is changing, what you're going through is changing, what things we're facing is changing, amen, what family issues, what financial issues, whatever problems they are altogether, that they're changing. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom, that things change in His presence, as we already know. And so we have entered into His presence. Now we need to believe that things are changing even now. And so let's just pray and believe God together, and really believe as we're praying, not just half-heartedly, but really believing. So, Father, I thank You today. I thank You that You are everything that we have sang about today, that, Lord, You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You're worthy of so much more than, God, that we even can begin to give You praise and glory for. Father, we bless Your great name today. We magnify You. We lift You up, great God. And Lord, we come to You today, even as Your word tells us to come boldly before Your throne today. God, coming to You and asking and believing by faith, God, for these prayer needs. God, those that are already in, those that people will send. God, those that are things that are on our hearts today. God, as people from all over are just praying together right now. I thank You that, Father, that You are hearing and answering prayer, that, Lord, You are in our midst right now, Heavenly Father, that, God, that You would be glorified through what we say and do in these moments today. Father, I thank You that, God, for people who recognize they've lost their fire, and I thank You that, God, that You will renew it, that, God, that You'll bring them back to the place where they were and greater. I thank You that, Father, that You're not interested in us being where we were, but, God, that You want to take us further. And so, Father, I pray, God, today that this would be a season and a time where, God, we wouldn't lose it, that, Lord, we wouldn't lose our passion, we wouldn't lose our zeal, but that, God, we would get stronger and deeper in You. I thank You that, Father, You will call Your people to a place of repentance, that, God, You will call Your people, God, to a place of in right standing with You, O God, and that, Lord, You can receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. Father, for those today that just need miracles and healings, and God, they need You to transform a situation and a problem, God, or they need something miraculous to occur in their body. Father, I thank You that, Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there's liberty, that, God, that chains can be broken and destroyed, God, bondages can be broken, Lord, things that we seem to be hooked to or tied to, God, that You can cut those things free. And so, Father, I thank You today in the name of Jesus that, God, every hindrance, Lord, everything that is afflicting our bodies, Lord, according to Your word that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, that, Lord, You deliver us from them all. I thank You today that, Lord, You are our great deliverer. You are our great healer. You are our transformer. And so, Father, we praise you and we bless you right now, God, for what you will do, for what you're accomplishing, God, for how you're transforming our lives. I thank you that, God, today, through this moment, God, even though it's through Facebook, that, God, that you can heal bodies, that, Lord, you can bring deliverance, that, God, you can do total transformations and creative miracles in our lives and in our bodies. And so, Father, we look to you today, God. We call upon you and believe today, praying the prayer of faith, O God, that, Lord, you will heal, that, God, you will deliver, Lord, you will transform our lives, that, God, that you will be seen and glorified. I praise you and I thank you, O God, today for it. We bless you and we just extol you. We honor you today from this place. I thank you that, God, every person that tunes in, Lord, today, on whatever page that they're watching, God, would experience and encounter your presence in a most powerful and wonderful and intimate way. That, God, that they would be immersed, Lord, in you today. That, God, they would experience you in a new and fresh way, that God, that they would experience you in ways that maybe they haven't for a while. But God, I thank you in advance, God, for what you will do. Lord, I thank you in advance, Lord, for what you will accomplish, Lord, as we glorify and bless your name today. I thank you that, God, you are our provider. I thank you, Lord, for every person wondering and worrying and affected by circumstances right now, that God, that they understand that beyond and above all, that, Lord, you are our provider. So, Father, I thank you in advance, God, for your provision for people who are worried or in fear. I thank you, God, today that we'll not live in fear, that God will not dwell in fear, but God will live and put our faith and our hope and our trust, God, in you and you alone. So, God, we look to you today. God, be the encourager of those that are discouraged, Lord. I thank you that you will be the chain breaker of those that are bound today, God. Be the deliverer, be the healer, be everything that, God, that we are in need of today. Lord, every prayer request that is under the palm of my hand today, God, everyone coming through Facebook and, God, being sent in by email, God, I thank you that you hear them and that you answer them, God, according to as we pray by faith today, God, believing and standing on your word today, that you'll continue to be a healer for this young boy today, God, that you'll continue to be a healer in our bodies, Lord, in mine, God, and others today that are seeking prayer today, God, for things going on in their bodies and their afflictions. I thank you that you'll continue to be a healer and a great deliverer, God, from those affected by this virus. I thank you that, Lord, it would not take root. I thank you that, God, that those that are on the front lines, God, that they would be covered. We just thank you, Lord, as we plead the blood of Jesus over them. God, we plead the blood of Jesus over our families and our church families, God. I thank you that, Lord, it will not come near us, but that, God, that we would just be covered and protected, God, as you are our ultimate protector. And God, we bless you and we thank you and we glorify you for it, mighty God that you are. I thank you that, Lord, your glory would be seen in all the earth. That God, your glory would be seen throughout this nation as we call upon you, as we join together with you. We bless you and we thank you now. Now, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to pour out and bless today, that your anointing would be released over this place, and help me, God, today to bring forth a word that would teach us and help us, God, to know you more, to draw us into you, God, to cause us and to help us, Lord, to operate in a place of power like never before. So, God, we bless you and we thank you for it all. We thank you, Lord, for the week ahead, that, God, that every day ahead of us, Lord, will be a day of blessing, will be a day of provision, will be a day of prosperity. God, we honor you and we glorify you today as we look forward, God, to the days ahead. I thank you and I praise you, God, that you continue to allow this place, this ministry, Lord, to be a blessing and a place of provision for people. God, we give you the thanks and praise for it. Now have your way in this place and through your word today. Speak to our hearts, mighty God that you are. And we honor and we bless you right now in Jesus, your powerful name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thanks to everybody who's watching. I can see some of you from time to time, but from other pages that you're on, we just appreciate you're there, whether you're on the other church page, because we have a couple, or you're on my page, or wherever you're watching from. We appreciate it. Glad that you're there. I'm going to do my best today to share this word with you. I think I wasn't really sure which direction to go until a little bit late this week. And then I decided coming up on May 31st is Pentecost Sunday. And years ago, I used to, every year, really preach and lead up to Pentecost Sunday with a series and teachings. And I haven't done that in a few years, and it's really important, I think. In fact, we celebrate Easter and we celebrate Christmas in the church. Those are two big holidays, and most of the time we overlook Pentecost Sunday. And yet it's a real important part of who we are as believers and Christians, especially, really, I'll say all Christians, not just Pentecostal people, not just people who believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but for all believers, because it's a real important part of us understanding more about who we are, who God has called us to be, where our source of power comes from, and what God wants to accomplish through us. And so I really thought it's important for you and I to begin to get an understanding now. And so today it could be more like a teaching than it is a preaching per se. We'll see. But I wanted to be obedient to what I believe the Lord was speaking for us to begin, because I think it's important that we operate in the fullness and the power that God has called us to operate in. And in order to do that, we have to understand what it really is. Why do we celebrate it? Pentecost was not something that just happened in Acts chapter 2. And a lot of times people just limit it to that, to Acts chapter 2, when it says, and they were all in one place and one accord, praying. And suddenly, right? It wasn't just something that happened only in Acts 2, but it was the beginning of a intimacy and a relationship that God wants you and I to have with Him through the Word of God. And I think it's important that we understand it to its fullness. And so that's why I wanted us to take a look at this today and know that there's so much more that God has for us. I really believe that God wants you and I to really live and dwell in a place and a relationship with Him where miracles are a normal thing. Where whatever we're doing, whatever we're praying for, that miracles shouldn't be something that we see just once in a while. Or we shouldn't just experience the power of the Holy Ghost once in a while. Or only on Resurrection Sunday, or only on Pentecost Sunday. But there's a place that God wants you and I to dwell. And that has everything to do with coming back to Pentecost Sunday and what it is, what it introduces to you and I, the place that God wants you and I to dwell in Him, and know that it's a place of normalcy that God has for you and I, that He wants you and I to dwell in a place of power and a place of His presence continually. And I'm going to do my best to lay that out for you today. And we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 6. I'm not beginning in Acts 2 because that's too predictable. We'll get to that eventually, I think, in the weeks to come in more of the preaching stuff that we're going to bring. But I wanted to begin in Acts chapter 6 or Hebrews chapter 6, just a couple of verses 4 and 5. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6, verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come." Listen to what I'm saying there. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come." I'm going to stop right there. He's talking about things that begin to happen to you and I when we are enlightened or we begin to gain revelation. Look what he says. To be a partaker means that you and I will taste the powers of what is to come, of what is about to be released. In other words, what is he saying? That what is available, what belongs to you and I tomorrow, what's coming up Monday morning for you and I is available for you and I now. What's coming up on Wednesday or Friday, right? What's coming up down the road, God is saying is available to you and I now. He's saying that we have to step into this place of revelation. I'm not going to lose you, but I want to lay a couple foundational things before we get into this. You see, we understand when we begin to read Acts 2 that we're familiar with, many of you are, when it says that they were all in one place and one accord and praying, and suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind and flames of fire. It was as if flames of fire upon each of their heads, and some began to speak in other tongues and all of that. I want you to understand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gateway to the life of the supernatural. Supernatural power, supernatural things, supernatural power becomes natural in our lives as Christians. That's what I was saying right in the very beginning. It's sort of the life of the normal life for you and I as believers. And if the power of God does not become natural, then something is wrong. This is what I said. If the power of God does not become a natural thing in our lives, then something is wrong. Because supernatural power becomes natural in our lives, according to Hebrews 6, even according to Acts 2, and according to other scriptures that we're going to begin to look at and dig through today, that God, in other words, God has so much more for you and I to tap into. Sometimes we have this belief that we'll get a breakthrough or we'll get answered prayer if so-and-so prays for us, or if we get 4, 5, 6 different people praying for us. And while there is truth, there is power in agreement. The Bible tells us that I want you to understand that kind of power, that miracle working power, those powerful supernatural works of the Holy Spirit is available to each and every believer in Jesus Christ. That's what His Word teaches us. That's what He wants you and I to be exposed to. That's the place that He wants you and I to get to. All right? You and I cannot have a sort of New Testament Christianity, right? Everything we see in the New Testament, we can't have that kind of New Testament Christianity without the supernatural power of God. It's impossible. And there's a lot of times that we as Christians are trying to have an experience with God without including the New Testament. We're trying to get to know God without including the New Testament, without including things that we struggle to comprehend and understand. We think that if it's difficult to understand, it couldn't be God, or it's not God, not realizing that our minds are limited to have an understanding and capacity without the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us. See, before we come to know Christ, we can read the Word and think, huh? What does that mean? But it is after salvation that the Holy Spirit begins to bring enlightenment and wisdom and gives us knowledge and full understanding of the Word of God, to where we read it and then we understand it, all right? And so we can read it, we can hear something years ago and never have an understanding, but you hear it now and you know what it means. You know what God is trying to teach and to tell you and I. And so you and I need to be able to operate in this place of power and this place of miracles, all right? Because there's something that happens all the time, not just once in a while. It's a part of Christian living. I remember Jesus told the disciples, He said to them, "You shall receive power." He was telling them, I need to go. After His death, burial, and He resurrected, as He was ascending, before He ascended into heaven, He told them, I needs must go, but you shall receive power from on high. And He was telling them that you and I would receive power, because he was meaning out of that, when the Scripture says that you shall receive power, it means that you will be clothed with the supernatural power of God. I want you to think about that. When Jesus says to you and I that you and I will receive power, it means that you are clothed with supernatural power of God right now in our living rooms, even as I stand here, when you're driving down the road, that He's saying that you and I are to be clothed with supernatural power of God. Not just a person, not just special people in our lives, but you. And we have to begin to own that for ourselves and understand how awesome that is, how powerful that is, and how much God has access and is accessible and available to you and I. Now, the reason I wanted to start with this is because there's some purposes to Pentecost. There's some important things about it, all right, that I want to lay out as a foundation for you and I to understand what's available to you and I. The first one is to be clothed with His authority. And you've heard me kind of make a reference of this a few times, even recently, because it means that we're a representative of Christ. To be clothed with His authority, to be a representative of Christ. The power of God comes that prayer might be born. See, a lot of times we want to limit Pentecost to a feeling in our body. Sometimes people will limit it to even the power of the Holy Spirit to something they feel on their body. But it's so much more than that. It's more than a goosebump. It's more than any of those things. It's more than a heating sensation. It's more than what you and I could feel in our natural body. It's more about a deeper work that God wants to accomplish in our life. See, prayer becomes a natural part of our life whenever you and I are clothed with the power of God. What do I mean? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now we're going to come back to that same scripture in a few moments, but watch this. I like this scripture in Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 2. If you're at home and taking notes, just jot these scriptures down. Song of Solomon 5, verse 2. It says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." I sleep, but my heart waketh. Why? Because I'm in prayer. Because I'm in prayer. What's he saying? That it's saying that you will pray as you dream, and dream as you pray. Think about that. In other words, you and I have the ability, because we are a spirit being having a natural experience, you and I have the ability to wake up praying. Because you can pray as you dream and dream as you pray. That you can pray even while you sleep. Because it's impossible. So many times we have that scripture, and I've heard people say it often. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And some people take that as though we've got to walk around just praying all the time. But the truth of the matter is it is impossible for you and I to pray in the natural. If I would walk around praying all the time, I couldn't have any time then to preach. If I walked around praying all the time, I couldn't talk to you. Some of us would find that as a benefit, right? That if we had someone praying all the time, that we wouldn't have to hear their mouth, right? They wouldn't have to talk to us. But the truth of that scripture is that when he says pray without ceasing, he wasn't talking about you in your natural self. Because in my natural ability, it's impossible for me to pray without ceasing. Because there are other things to do. We still have to work. We still have to communicate. We still have to do other things in this life. Right? And so what I love about Song of Solomon, what I love about 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without ceasing. He says, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He was talking about something more than you and I praying in the natural, than what we just did a few moments ago in prayer. There's a deeper place in God that He wants you and I to be at and get to in Him, where we will pray without ceasing. Because it's not possible in the natural. See, what I come to understand about the Word and about the work of the Holy Spirit, and this is why the work of the Holy Spirit is important, and we cannot ignore it, and we must have the work of the Holy Spirit in church and in our lives, is that prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit are tied together. When you see a lack of the moving of the Spirit, you will always also see a lack of prayer. When you see a lack of prayer, you will also always see a lack of the moving of the Holy Spirit. So when churches begin to not experience that work or that power, that anointing, that miracle-working power, all those sort of things, there is also then a lack of prayer. When you begin to sense that in your life, when people say, I don't sense God, or I don't feel God like I used to, or I'm not where I used to be with God, then it is coupled with that. There is not an active work of the Holy Spirit where there is no prayer. And where there is no prayer, there is not an active work of the Holy Spirit, because they are tied together. They are related. All right? Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit responds to prayer. The Holy Spirit will respond to prayer. I've learned this, that the prayer is the result. Oftentimes, you and I need to realize that when we go to prayer, we'll start praying. And there's sometimes like this, oftentimes, many times, I don't want to pray or I don't feel like praying. But what you and I must understand about prayer, and the reason why so many church people and some of us that are watching even right now on Facebook, before you click off because you're like, oh no, he's talking about prayer, I don't like to do that. This is the reason why. It's because you stop praying when before you ever feel God take over. You stop praying. You're only praying for in yourself. You're only praying in the natural or in your natural ability. See, I start to pray, but I have the ability to continue to pray as He is here. I start to pray in my own natural self. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for what you've done. And we go through whatever it is that we're going to say. God, I thank you that you're going to bless this person. You're going to help this and that you're going to heal my body in Jesus' name and all of that. And we'll hit a couple issues. And I often tell people who are intercessors or people who are trying to really get to a place of prayer that being a prayer warrior is sort of like just taking some practice shots. If you've ever shot a gun or shot a bow and you try to get better at it, you got to practice while doing it, right? And so it's sort of like just firing a few shots in a couple of different areas and seeing what you might rustle out, right? Making noise in a certain area, right? When I was young, and I didn't like to hunt too much when I was young, but when I was young, we would have to drive the deer out. David knows what I'm talking about. In the thick parts of the brush, because the deer would sort of settle in there. And so they would send, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us, depending on how big of an area it was, through to sort of drive them out to the people who held the guns. And so it would sort of be, we couldn't tell what area they were in, so we would just hit a large area at a time, right? And there would be that one area where you'd get quite a few coming out of the same area. In some ways, prayer is like that, where you and I will hit and pray on a few things, and then suddenly the power of the Holy Spirit is on one area where we could be praying for finances, and we could be praying for a marriage, and we can be praying for this in our life and that in our life. But finally, we'll hit one thing, and then that's when you sense the power of the Holy Spirit on that thing, and you know in that moment that's what God wants to do. Where you can start praying for healing all of a sudden. And that's where you now sense that God taking over. Where you and I receive power. And you now understand that there's something more at work for you and I in that moment. So when I begin to pray, that's my decision. But when my ability to continue is His power. See, the problem is we often quit praying because we're only praying in our strength, and we've never gotten to the point where it's His power that begins to take over, where He encompasses and inhabits those moments with us, right? Because we a lot of times we just go to prayer and we start asking things of God, but we need to really begin with thanksgiving. We have to begin in our prayer of thanking God for what He's done, welcoming Him in, honoring and recognizing that what He has already accomplished in our life. Not just asking, right? Because that's like a nagging kid at the grocery store, at the checkout line. Mom, I want this. Mom, I want that. Mom, I want this. Give me this. Give me this. And we do that with God so many times, where in order to open up the hand of God, in order to open up the heart of God, it's to give Him thanks. It's to give Him praise, to honor Him for what He's already done, for the things that we have, even the little that we may be having right now. It's to honor Him and to bless Him. So you and I need to begin there and then move on from there. So your decision to pray, that you praying, that's your decision, all right? But then as you continue to pray, that's when His power takes over, all right? That's when His power begins to take over. Hallelujah. John chapter 16 says this. John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. Now, we're going to be going over some of these scriptures in the weeks ahead to break them down and make them help them become more revelation for each of us. But in other words, what it's really laying out is that the Holy Spirit is the great revealer. Right. The Holy Spirit is the great revealer. Christianity is a revelation, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer of who Christ is. Right? Even the Bible says that Jesus is revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so the real purposes of you and I and us experiencing Pentecost in our life is what we've covered so far is, one, we become a representative or ambassador for Him. Two, we become an instrument of prayer. And then we also come into fellowship with Him. We come into fellowship, right? How do we come in fellowship? By revelation of who He is. Because we know Him intimately. Because we get to know more about who God is, what He desires, what He wants to accomplish. Meaning that you can show up for church on a Sunday morning and know before any word is ever preached and any song is ever sung what God wants to accomplish. You can wake up tomorrow and know what it is that God wants to accomplish in your life. Wake up knowing God desires to heal my body, or God desires that I be a helping to somebody else today, or God desires to accomplish this. That's the truth. That's what it is to know Him intimately. To know Him intimately. Now watch this. Romans chapter 8. I love this. Years ago, I did an in-depth teaching on this very scripture, and I'll never forget it. It was on a midweek service, and everybody was like, wow. Wow. It was great revelation. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now watch this. I introduced to you just briefly, because we're going to be dealing with this over the next few weeks. We talked about the purpose of Pentecost. But we've not yet gotten to the fire of Pentecost. When people say, I lost my fire, or I'm not on fire like I used to be, or we're not seeing the miracles, we're not seeing the manifestations of the moving of the Holy Spirit. And so we've talked about the purpose, which we'll lay out in greater detail, but I want to touch on briefly and start introducing you to what is the fire, all right, itself. See, the scripture says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. There's a connection there. To be led by His Spirit means that you and I are a son of God. I believe personally that there are many children, but few sons. We know through the Word of God that we're referred to as children of God. There are songs that we sing, I am a child of God. We'll even say things like that on a regular basis. I am a child of God. I thank God that I'm saved and I'm a child of God. And that's great. That's true. But the Bible also says that there is a growth that we get to in Him where we're not just children of His, but that we become sons. Look what the Word says at Romans 8. For as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now, from the point of being a child of God and getting to a son of God, there's a long road there. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm just saying it's a road of progression. There are things that take place in our life. And what Romans 8:14 tells me is that God isn't looking for children, that God is looking for sons. For as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now, read that first verse again. We were referred to Romans 8:14, for as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. But the verse before that says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The next verse says, for as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So what is He saying? He's saying that the minute that you are led, you become mature in the Spirit. He's saying that children cannot be mature because they cannot be led. As many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. In other words, God wants you and I to grow in Him in a greater level and a greater capacity. Meaning that I don't have to rely on somebody else to tell me what God is wanting to accomplish. Meaning that I don't have to rely on someone to say, I have a word for you. Nothing wrong with that. There were times that God will speak to somebody to tell you and I something, or or to reveal something to us or bring a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, absolutely. But as a believer, I can't rely and only lean on that God wants you and I to be mature enough in Him. He wants you and I to grow to the place where we are a son of God, where He is communicating directly to us. I don't know about you, but when someone brings a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or something like that, oftentimes it's easier if God tells me than if you tell me. Right? How many have ever had somebody, it can be a spouse, tell you something and you're like, we get mad about it, right? It could be truth, and that's usually why we get mad, right? We usually get mad because it is true. Maybe they hurt us or they offended us, right? God can say that same thing to us in prayer, and we might catch a quick attitude, but the truth is eventually we're like, okay, I get what they're saying. Now, we won't necessarily tell our spouse or whoever it was that they were right, because we cringe at that thought. But we'll recognize it, and we'll just go to God in prayer. And we'll say, Lord, I need you to help me with this. Right? Because it's easier for us to receive from God. I'm telling you that God wants you and I to be so mature in Him and grow in Him. And He wants you and I to have this Pentecost experience, right? So that He is speaking directly to us. And then you won't have to be relying on a word. There are some people that they're addicted to getting a word. There are people that say, I'm going to go to church tonight because I need a word. Because we're not accustomed to hearing the voice of God ourselves. Because we're not used to Him speaking directly to us. Because we're still operating as a child and not as a son. Because the Bible says there in John 16 that God reveals truth to His sons. Truth to His sons. When you and I become a son of God, we can handle the truth. The difference between people who get mad when you tell them the truth and people who receive it when you tell them the truth is whether they're a child or a son. I've seen over the years, I've been there, you've probably been there, where God will say something or someone will get a word or whatever, or even the preacher preaches a message and then they leave. And they never go back because they were a child. And sometimes even preachers, we miss it and we try to tell someone something that they're not ready for because they're not at that level yet. They can't see the truth, right? The reason why sometimes even in our marriages and our relationships and people we know, we try to tell them something is because they're not at that level to see it or receive it. They're still operating as a child. They haven't gotten to a place where they are led by the Spirit. Therefore, they're not a son of God. They can't receive it. Sadly, I think most of the people in the body of Christ in the church today are children. Sadly, I believe that that's true. And the reason I know that is because we're children, because there's such a struggle in our lives with the flesh. One pastor I was talking to this week, and then I saw he put it on Facebook, and I thought, oh, brother, you are bolder than I am. He put it on Facebook, he said, everyone's posting all these memes about what they're going to look like when this quarantine is over with. He said, not me, # self-control. And I just thought, you know, what he's saying is true. But that's the scapegoat we use in the church. But the truth of the matter is, when you break that all down, and what he was saying is that there's a level of flesh that we can't control. Just like we'll say things, and they're like, you made me say it. No, not true. Right? Or, you made me do it. Right? All of those things. There's a level that God wants you and I to get to where our flesh isn't the issue, right? That's what that preacher was saying as he was posting it and laughing about it. As he was saying, it's about you and I learning to control the desires of our flesh. That's how it is that we become a son. And the reason that most people are operating as children of God and not sons of God is because we simply haven't been able to crucify our flesh or kill dead things in our life. When you and I really experience Pentecost, that's when you will be able to recognize if you're a child of God, compared to a son of God. Truth will be revealed to you and I. Now, the reason I said that there's a journey between being a child of God and being a son of God is that what happens in between there, if you really want me to be honest, I'll try to be as blunt as I can and as honest as I can. What really happens between being a child of God and a son of God is death. Crucifying our flesh. The reason that sometimes we'll sit back and look at people and we can say they're spiritual or they know how to get a hold of God or them this or them that, the difference is crucifying the flesh. Bible teaches us that when we were born, even as children, we were born into a rebellious nature, the flesh. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 calls it the old man. The old man. And if we boil it all down, the root of all of our problems is our rebellious nature. The truth of the matter is that many of us are rebels at heart. Right? We're rebels at heart. And once in a while, even as Christians, that rebel will sneak up on you. Well, we don't always sound, we may not sound like a son of God. We may not sound even like a child of God. We might not sound anything connected to God once in a while. Because we're rebels at heart. We were born, when we were born of this earth, the Bible says that we were born in our rebellious nature. But what we understand through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is that your rebellious nature was executed on the cross. And when the Bible says that Jesus became one with your sin, your rebellious nature was executed. Why? Because God does not have a plan for the old man. In other words, God does not have a plan for your rebellious nature. The only plan that God had in store and in mind for your old man was execution. Being dead to sin. Executing the rebellious part of ourselves. So, because of his amazing sacrifice on the cross, the death of Jesus Christ, understanding that, you and I need to further understand that you cannot be defeated by the devil unless you consent to being defeated. I'm making a few points that I'm going to expound and expand in the weeks to come. Before I know it, I'm about out of time. Why do I say that? Listen to what I said. You cannot be defeated by the devil unless you consent to being defeated. The Bible says that he has given you and I all power and all authority. Most of the problem is that we don't know how to walk in that power. We don't know how to walk in that authority. We may know how to sound spiritual and to sound authoritarian or to sound like an overcomer, but we don't know how to really attain it. If we would be honest with ourselves, there's a lot of people that agree with that statement, that we know how to sound like an overcomer. We know how to even pray where it sounds like we have authority over things, but we don't know really how to attain it. Meaning, I can dress like a millionaire doesn't mean I have a million. And there's a lot of people that are good at this. There's people that they can have any kind of car you'd want to name. They can dress a certain way, and you can think a certain thing about them based on what they present to you. But it does not mean that they have the ability or the intellect to attain that kind of income. Right. And then there are people just the opposite. You wouldn't know how blessed they are because they don't let on. They don't flash it. They don't need to. We cannot be defeated by the devil unless we consent to being defeated. Why? Because he has given you and I all power and all authority. So that means that our flesh is our number one enemy. So many times in our walk with God and the things that we post online and our conversations and our prayer life, We're talking about the devil. We're always talking about what he's doing and how he's at work. And we give so much glory to the devil himself when it is our flesh that is our number one enemy. And what Jesus was teaching to the disciples, what we were reading there in the book of John, is he's saying you have to kill the flesh. You have to overcome the flesh. If you ever want to get to the point where as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God, he's saying you have to kill your flesh. You cannot live by your flesh. You have to live by the Spirit of God. Meaning that our old man shouldn't have any power in our life today. Think about that. That our old man, Lois, shouldn't have any power in our life today. So when we say things, I know I shouldn't, but that means our flesh has power. I knew, but our flesh has power. Hearing what I'm saying, and that's many of us in this place, we need to hear what the Lord is saying. Before we can be led of the Spirit, our old nature's got to be dealt with. According to Romans 8:14, for as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And even if we read there in the 13th verse leading up to it, as we already read, when the old man is dead, that's when I can be led of the Spirit. So many times we're led by other things and we misinterpret it to be the Spirit of God, which leads us into trouble. How many have ever, sometimes people will try to do something they think is what the Spirit of God's leading them to do, only to cause an issue or a problem or something to blow up or something to go wrong? Because we're being led by something else, and it's not the Spirit of God. See, our flesh has to be on the cross before we can be led of the Spirit. So in other words, in Romans chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, God's calling you and I a child as long as the flesh is still kicking. As long as we're struggling with what we've been struggling with, we are still operating as a child of God. And he's not able to call us into sonship. But when our flesh is dead, that's when he calls you a son. When I'm no longer struggling with those same things, when I can say no to things that I used to struggle with saying no to, now I'm in sonship. Now I'm at a place where I'm stronger in him. I'm being led of the Spirit, right? I'm not getting tripped up by those things anymore. I can't blame the devil for it all. The devil will use things, but it is ultimately my flesh battle. Me understanding what Christ did on the cross for me, understanding that, owning it, having the revelation of it, realizing that God has given you and I all power to overcome, all power and all authority, and utilizing that power and that authority in our lives. Hallelujah. I wanted to get into Romans 6. I don't think I'm going to be able to. I'm going to have to come back to it. But this week, if nothing else, read Romans 6, 1 through 6, because it's powerful and it's going to help lay a good foundation where we're going to end up going. Because God wants you and I to live and be in a deeper place in Him, a more intimate place with Him than ever before. He wants you and I to operate in a place of power and a place of authority. He wants you and I to operate in a place where miracles are normal, in a place where we can experience, like Acts chapter 2, on a day-to-day basis, and not just once in a while or here or there, but at all times, and it just be continually overflowing in our life. See, we have to always, all of us have to make a decision to put our flesh to death. And when we do, the Bible says there's a declaration of that through baptism. See, what baptism really is baptism ought to be the end of childhood and the beginning of sonship. But too often in churches, it is not. Baptism should be the end of childhood and the beginning of sonship. Because really what it is it's you and I declaring, I am dead to sin and I'm alive unto God. But we don't necessarily experience baptism like we used to. Because, see, I'm born again and I'm saved. But when death comes with it, it becomes a funeral service. Now watch and hear what I'm trying to say to you. A lot of Christians have had funeral services, but they did not die. In other words, a lot of Christians have had baptism services, but they did not die. Because when we get baptized, it's representative of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the reason we stand in the water, the death, go under the water, the burial, coming out of the water, the resurrection. A lot of times we go through the motion, but there was no funeral. Meaning there was no old man that died. We go in, we get wet, and we come out. That's the only difference. Now, I'm just trying to speak truth to you and I so that we can get to a place where we can overcome in this life. The only difference after people get baptized so many times is that they're wet. That's it. That they're wet. That's why I really don't understand, and forgive me, but there are people who will lead people to Jesus right now and baptize them in the same moment. I don't understand it. Because there's a process that God talks about that we've got to go through, an understanding and a place of revelation that we have to understand and to realize that we are dying to our flesh in those moments. And so baptism has become no longer a funeral service for our churches. It's become a wet service where we just get a bunch of people wet, and it's an outward sign of an inward cleansing, but it really doesn't even represent that because we didn't equip them with the tools to kill the flesh and to live by the Spirit, and to teach people how to become a son of God. Because burial is, the baptism itself is the burial. And that is the key and most important thing about it. Because it is the heart to the power of God. The reason that so many people, they'll get saved, they'll get baptized, and then that fizzles out is because we did not equip them with the heart to the power of God, which was dealing with the flesh, taking them through discipleship and teaching them how it is and what things we have to overcome in this life and how to go about killing them and how to not react the same ways that we used to and how not to blow up and how not to be the old man and yet try to be the new man. I posted something the other day that that I can't be who I used to be and who I am at the same time. And yet there's a lot of Christians that try to do that. We're trying to be who we used to be and who we are at the same time. And that's just impossible. Because one or the other is greater. Either my old man is greater than the new man, or my new man is overcoming the old man and he is about to be executed. But you and I can't be who we used to be and who we are at the same time. That's not what God wants for us. He wants you and I. He said, as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. He wants you and I to be led by Him and in sonship and relationship, connected to Him in a deeper and more powerful way. Baptism is burial. See, there was a woman who was used by God mightily. Some people that have heard of her. Some people, if you're newer to God, you haven't probably heard of her. But she had a powerful ministry. Her name was Catherine Coleman. Benny Hinn's ministry was raised up out of hers. And God turned her into a powerful woman of God. Because she experienced what it was to be dead to sin. To crucify the flesh. There are others. She's someone in more modern day times that God used mightily. But there was Saul that became Paul. That experienced it and that we read about. It's what turned Simon into Peter. A radical conversion where Peter was sort of unpredictable. He had a temper that would just light off like that. Peter was one of those guys that he'd cuss you without even hesitating. Bible says so. And yet Jesus chose him and used him. But he had to go through a process of crucifying and killing his flesh. See, the burial or the crucifixion, killing of our flesh, is that experience that brought powerful men and women to the earth to do great and mighty things. The key to the power of God is death. The key to being powerful for God is you and I killing off our flesh, the desires of our flesh, to do things that we want to do, not what the Spirit of God wants us to do. Not what our flesh wants us to do, but what He wants us to do. Hallelujah. Paul says, walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how can you? How do you walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Why does Paul say that? And how is that possible? Walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know how? Because the flesh is dead. See, what we try to do in the church is we're trying to always walk in this thing where I'm going to walk in the Spirit and then I'm not going to walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to do this. And he's saying, no, I want you to walk in the Spirit and just don't fulfill the lust of your flesh because it's dead. Your old man is dead. It's crucified. He's saying, I want you to walk in the Spirit continually. As many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. See, a lot of times we're walking in the flesh and we're thinking we're walking in the Spirit, but that's not it. And that's why we fight the same old things, the same old sins, the same old battles. The same things we were fighting before we got saved, we're fighting now. Because we haven't got to this place that Paul talked about, walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh if the flesh is dead. We won't have the desire. It won't even be there. It won't cross our mind. The Holy Spirit desires and wants to indwell in every part of you. According to Romans 8, verse 13, he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. Even Exodus 30:30 says, the anointing does not belong to the flesh. In other words, what's Exodus 30:30 saying? That those living in the flesh cannot experience the power of God. I believe now more than ever, this is a time where the church needs to be able to experience the power of God. As I even said, when everything's open back up again and people, churches can come together, we should see one of the greatest revivals and moves of God in history, really. If just the church would operate of how God's calling us to operate, if we would live and walk by the Spirit and not by our flesh. Because just as it says in Exodus 30:30, that those living in the flesh cannot experience the power of God. If we're not experiencing the power of God, it's because we are living in the flesh. That's what the Word of God says. If you and I really want to see and experience the power of God in our lives, in our communities, in our churches, then our flesh must be dead. We have to kill it. We have to surrender it to God and say, I am not going to be that person anymore. I'm not going to react in that way anymore. I'm not going to battle the same thing I've been battling for years. But God, you're big enough for me to give it to you, whatever that is. This may be a harder word than what you may have thought when it comes to Pentecost. But see, in order to really get to Pentecost, in order to get to Acts 2, when they were all in one place and one accord in prayer, and suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind and the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out, they had to master this. And so many times we in the church, we want to get the good stuff. We want to get the miracles and the power of the Holy Ghost. And we want to see God move in power and might and see people receiving from heaven all over the place. But we don't want to deal with the flesh. And God's saying, no. If in order to become a son, you have to deal with your flesh. In order for you to inherit what I have, you have to crucify this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants you and I to deal with it. He wants you and I to surrender to Him. I'm going to stop right there. There's some deeper things that I want you and I to get into, and some really encouraging things when it comes to Pentecost and the things that God promises you and I through Pentecost that we'll have to wait and get into in the weeks to come. But in order to get to all of that, God says, first you have to deal with you. God's saying, not for you to deal with and tell your neighbor about. Or God's saying, not for you to get in your mind what you need to tell your spouse they need to deal with. What I love about God is God didn't tell me it's my responsibility to tell those I love what they need to deal with. God is big enough and strong enough to tell them on their own. And the same people who hear this word today, God's the same God speaking to them. So I don't need to tell them, see, I told you that God wanted you to deal with that in your life. That's how we try to do it. That's your flesh trying to react. God is big enough and powerful enough to tell people what He needs to deal with them on. And it's better and easier and more productive if we just stand back and say, God, deal with me. I'm thankful that I'm not you and I don't have to deal with them. Truly, that's what some spouses need to thank God for. We get so frustrated with one another, but really what we should be just saying, God, I'm thankful that you are God and I am not, and that means you have to deal with them, not me. I may be married to them, but God, you're ultimately responsible for changing them. Hallelujah. You know? We do. Think about it. We have to live with them. But imagine being God watching us over, and we're like a hamster on a wheel. And that's the truth. If we would take inventory of our lives, so many times we are like a hamster on a wheel doing the same thing over and over again. And the reason we're battling the same thing over and over again is because we haven't overcome it in the first place. So that's why we just say, God, I thank you that you're God and I am not, which means, God, you're responsible for revealing and changing them. And God, all I got to do is endure living with them. Thank you that, God, you gave me the grace to be able to endure. We spend so much time praying and saying, God, change them. And God's saying, no, I didn't ask you to pray that they be changed. I ask you that you would pray that you be changed. Because, see, as long as I can pray and identify your flesh, I'm free from dealing with mine. As long as I'm praying and pointing out what's wrong with you, I'm not paying any mind to all my flaws. But see, I'm still just a child. I haven't entered into sonship. And if I was operating as a son, that wouldn't even be my concern about what's wrong with you. My only concern would be, am I holy and blameless before God? Trusting and relying and leaning on Him and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and His revelation and His power to work on those that I love. The power of Pentecost is real, meaning that there is miracles and healing and deliverance. There is speaking in tongues. There is all of those things that we read about in the New Testament that happens on the day of Pentecost, all of it. But in order to get to that and have understanding and receive miracles and healings and all of those amazing things that people want to see in the church, then we have to get back to the Word of God and preach the fact that we have a flesh issue. And God's saying, I want you to deal with it. Imagine if we would deal with our flesh between now and when the government says we can all get back together and worship, whether that's a week or two or three. What God could do with us in that moment. It's powerful. We're going to go further with Pentecost in the weeks to come. As we prepare to close, and we're going to give everybody the chance, those of you that are still with us online, that as you leave and we're going to close in prayer, that you can give and support the ministry. I thank God for people who do. This morning, someone mailed in a love gift who watches on Facebook and gets blessed by it, and I'm grateful for that. Others have already sown online this morning, and we're grateful for you as well. And so because we can't be together, you can give online. The link is right there available to you. And you can give safe and secure there, or and if you need to, you can mail it in. 171 Connellsville Street, Uniontown, Pennsylvania, 15401. The address is on our Facebook page. It's on our website as well, if you prefer to give that way rather than online. But we encourage you to do so. I'm thankful that God is faithful and continues to make a way and provide for us. And so when I pulled in this morning, we had a large shipment of boxes from, why am I drawing a blank? Highmark Home and Health and AHN, and they donated a couple thousand bags for us to use for our food distributions. And so I'm grateful. There's, I think there's 10 or 12 boxes over there. So there's about 1,200 bags over there. Each one has 100 bags in. And so I'm grateful and thankful. Just another way God provides and enables us to do and to give to those who are in need in the days and weeks ahead. And so I'm thankful for that. And other ways that God has been providing. And so as you give today, I'm praying that God will give to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God's a provider, even through your stimulus check. God's providing for you, all right? You need to give God thanks for that, really, truly. And others that are waiting on yours, just thank God. It'll be there, right? Others that are on unemployment, just thank God for what provision you do have. Hallelujah. Because God will use and take your thanks and multiply and bring increase into your life. I want to pray and bless your offering today and pray and bless your week, and I pray it's a good week in Christ and that you see the goodness of the Lord all around you. Father, I thank you and I praise you today, great God that you are, for being who you are. I thank you today that, God, you're going to take us on a journey to experience the power of Pentecost in our lives. That, Father, that we're going to experience you in powerful and wonderful and new ways. But, Father, I thank you that you're giving us the strength and the audacity, God, to overcome and to deal with who we are as individuals so that, God, we can experience all the great things that you have available to us through Pentecost. Father, I thank you and I praise you. Father, as we leave this time of worship together, I pray that, Father, that you will bless every seed that's sown online. Bless every seed that's sown here. God, bless every seed that comes in by the mail. Multiply it. Father, give us continued wisdom and direction as we use their seeds, God, to further your kingdom. Father, I praise you and I bless you, the God, for you being our God of provision, God of miracles, God of deliverance, God of healing. Father, today as we give, I thank you that it's being multiplied in the name of Jesus to do far more. God, help us to continue to reach far more than we've been able to reach, God, even to this point. I thank you, Lord, for the hundreds of people that have watched and joined in from different pages all around. God, I pray that you will bless them, speak something to their heart, God. Hard as it may be to hear, I pray that, God, you will help us to confront ourselves, confront our issues, God, to step into a place of power. God, we give you the glory and the honor. I pray that the week ahead would be blessed. God, we would see your abundance. God, we would experience your joy and your power in brand new ways. Now, God, I thank you, I praise you, we bless you. We give you all the glory now. In Jesus, your powerful name, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.